Thank you, ladies. Brother Tim, what a blessing with the choir today. Faith this morning. If you've never been saved, it'd be a great morning to turn your heart to Christ.
Amen.
He said he would have no wise cast you out. It's good to see our visitors here with us today. And I want to tell you a blessing just from a pastor's heart. I seen Drew, a policeman, and Bowden up in the choir singing. Brother Mike, that does my heart good, young people interested in the things of the Lord.
Amen.
We've got a great church, and I'm thankful for it today. Our scripture verse has pretty much been this since we started 30 years ago. It's found in Galatians 6 and 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. I appreciate the goodness of God. He had sent His Son to bring us together. God's doing great things in our church, and I'm grateful. Good to have Brother Larry Stone with us, my friend, today. You come preach to us. You just preach what the Lord's put on your heart. We love you. You pray for my friend this morning.
Hey, man, appreciate the opportunity to come back. I thank God for your pastor and for his wife, Sister Renee. They've been a blessing to our church for many years. Brother Ken and mine passed cross down in Alabama at a prison blitz back in, I think it was 2008. And he came in 2009 and preached to us. We was in a little old store building. And he's been a part of our church ever since. Last year I was at a camp meeting in Taylorsville. And Brother Dana Williams preached that morning at the camp meeting. And I went to him after service and I said, Brother Dane, I said, it's good to meet you. I said, you preach and make me think of one of the greatest preachers I've ever known. And he said, who is that? I said, Brother Ken Bowman. He said, he's my pastor. I said, he's mine too. Brother Ken's been a pastor to this old boy, and I appreciate him. A lot of times I've called him and talked to him, and always been a blessing to me, and I love him and appreciate him. Brother Ken, you'll never know down here what you mean to me. One of these days I'll get to tell you when we get home. But I count it an honor to be able to come. I told Brother Ken we'd just come down and let him preach, and he said that he wanted me to preach, but I count it a privilege to preach to you, or try, and I'm just an old unworthy sinner, saved by the grace of God. I got saved March 30th, 1975. And a lot of people probably thought old Larry wouldn't make it long. But it's been about 49 years. And I think I got a good start on it. But I thank God for letting me stand and proclaim His Word. I didn't want to do that. I ran from it, but I couldn't run far enough, but God called me to preach. But I appreciate you. As Brother Ken said, we're from Mount Uri and lived there all my life. And everybody relates it to Mayberry. And I said, does everybody talk like they do on Andy Griffith's show there in Mayberry? And I said, no. Not all of us, but some of us do, you know. But I appreciate the opportunity to be with you this morning. Last week I was studying on a message, and I knew that it was what God wanted me to use here today. And I got down and went to studying yesterday, and it went just as cold as it could be. I couldn't get a thing, couldn't get a touch from it. And I believe this is what God wanted me to use this morning. God changed my message. And if you've got a Bible, I want you to turn with me into Mark, the 12th chapter. If you've got an old Scofield, that's on page 1263. I thank God for what I feel here this morning. If you will, stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. But there ain't many churches you go in and feel what you feel here today. Boy, I like to feel the touch of God. Mark chapter 12, and I'm going to start reading at verse 41. The Bible said, Jesus sat over against the treasury, and behold how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow. She threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For they all did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want cast in all that she had, even all her living. May God add a blessing to the reading of His Word, and let us go to the Lord in prayer. My Father, Lord, as we come before You today, Lord, just as humble as we know how, asking You, Lord, to help me today, and realizing if there's anything done, it's going to be through You. And Lord, I ask You to take this old stammering tongue, help us for just a few minutes to tell about Your love, and of Your amazing grace and what You've done, Lord, in lives, how You've changed and made people in a different way. And Lord, I thank You for that. And I pray for this congregation this morning. I know very few people here. Lord, I don't know their hearts, but I know there's not one here today that You don't know. You know them and You know their hearts. And Lord, should there be one here today that's not saved, Lord, I pray in some way or another You'd speak to their heart, Lord, that they might come today and trust You as Savior, be born again into the family of God. Then, Lord, maybe there's some here today, Lord, that's saved, but they've kind of grown cold and drifted away. And Lord, I pray that this might be the day, Lord, they just come to an old-fashioned altar, scrooge back up at Your feet. Lord, get back core that You might use them and that You might touch others through them. Go with us now. Thank You for this church, for Brother Ken and Sister Renee. And Lord, I thank You for how You've used them mightily. And I ask You to continue to bless them and use them and help them. Go with us. Have Your way. Now, in Jesus' sweet and precious name, we do pray. Amen. For just a little while, I want to talk on this right here about the widow's mind. There's three things that I want to mention about this widow. The Bible tells us that she was just a poor lady, a poor widow, and threw in two mites. And the Bible tells us that's less than a penny. But yet she cast in a great amount because of the way she did it. I want to talk about the measure, first of all, of what she cast in. The Bible said here in verse 42, there came a certain poor widow. Anytime you see the word certain, it means specific, someone specific in the Bible. I thought about over in John chapter 5, where that Jesus went to the pool of Bethesda there. And the Bible tells us that there was a multitude of people there that were sick. But there was a certain man, the Bible said, one man. You know, I'm glad that God works on single cases. He works one-on-one. It's not a group plan that I got saved, but praise God, I got saved through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ when He came to me. I'm glad that one Sunday morning, He came through Community Baptist Church to a certain person. I was the only one that got saved that Sunday, but I'd been fighting it. I'd made a profession as a child, but I didn't get the goods. I was out in the world and had got married. Me and my wife had a child. And, I was just out in the world where I shouldn't be. But I want you to understand, God began to deal with my heart. And we went three Sundays in a row. We'd go about once a month, but I don't know why. In March of 75, we went three Sundays in a row. And I'd grab that bench and I'd hold it onto that old bench. My wife said my knuckles had turned white. But that day, God come to a certain man. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And He came to where I was. I couldn't get to Him. That morning, He reached up to the Father with one hand and reached down to me with the other one. Glory to God, I wasn't able to get in touch with the throne of God, but I got connected that Sunday morning. I got something that Sunday morning I'd never had before in my life. I got something that God gave me that changed my life. My life's never been the same sin. I want you to understand, that morning when I went to church, I was on my way to hell. But when I left church, I was on my way to heaven. God changed me and made a difference in me. And I've often wondered why God would love such a sorry thing as I was. But yet He was long-suffering with me. And the Bible tells me He's long-suffering with us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I had a young man to ask me one day. I was a witnessing to him. And that young man said, "You mean this God that you tell me that loves me is going to send me to hell?" I said, "No, sir. We're already on our way to hell. The Bible tells us that he that believeth in Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." We're already on our way to hell. I said, "But He's done everything He could to keep you out of hell. Jesus wants you to be saved. He wants you to be with Him. He don't want you to die and go to hell. And He may come through to day. He may be searching you. You may be that certain person that needs to come to Jesus. He may speak to your heart today and want you to come to Him. But I want you to understand, the Bible tells us that this was a certain woman. And she didn't have that much to give, but I want you to know the Bible tells us that little is much if God is in it. In Proverbs 13:7, the Bible said, "There is he that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches." I want you to understand the wealth is not of this world, nor of the things of this life, but the wealth is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He tells us to lay up treasures not upon this earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but to lay up our treasures in heaven, where thieves can't break through, moth and rust can't touch it. Praise God, I've got some treasures on the other side that God has given them. But I want you to understand, the measure that she gave was to God everything. She gave everything. I'm going to ask you this morning, what are we giving to God? How much are we giving God? What are we giving Him? Are we giving Him what time's left over? Or are we giving Him all our time? Are we putting Him first, or is He last in our life? Where is God in your life? And what are we giving to God? And in what measure are we giving to God? I'm not talking about in monetary things, but I'm talking about in the spiritual things of knowing God and looking to Him and having the touch of God on your heart and trusting Him. But I want you to understand that she gave all. I heard it said one time that no man is a fool to give what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. I want you to understand, we're to give to God. Now, I'm not talking again in monetary, but I'm talking about of ourselves. The Bible tells me that God loved us and gave Himself for us. And He died for us. He wants us to live for Him. How that others might be touched through your life. And might they somebody that you can touch. How that I can't, that Brother Ken can't. How that they somebody that you can reach. How that God can use you to touch them, to help them see their need. One of these days it's going to be too late. Now I'm looking for Jesus at any time. The Bible tells us that in the last days, perilous times are coming. And we're in that time today. The Bible speaks of wars and rumors of war. You ever heard of any wars lately? Have you heard of rumors of more? I mean, they're talking about greater wars and pestilence. We see that all around us, and sickness and things. And the way that the storms are, I believe God is trying to wake us and trying to tell us something if we just listen to Him. But we don't want to listen. But I want you to understand that this poor woman, she gave all. The Bible tells us in Luke 6:38, give, and it shall be given unto you. Now, I'm not talking about like these preachers on TV. They tell you to send money to them, and God's going to bless you with wealth. That's a lie. That's a lie out of hell. How those preachers that tell you that, you'll never hear them mention anything about salvation. You'll never hear them mention about being saved or dying and going to hell. All they want your pocketbook. They don't want to help your soul. Now, they're not out to help you except take money from you. Now I want you to understand that He said, the Bible said, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you met withal, it shall be measured to you again. My pastor used to say, when it says there, of good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, and he'd say, squirting out the cracks. I mean, how the blessings of God, I'm not talking about of the things of this world, but I'm talking about some things of another world, how things that God wants to bless us with the Spirit of God on your heart and on our heart. God wants to bless us and give unto us. And this poor widow, I thought about over in 2 Corinthians 6:9, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. I want you to understand, she gave. And the more we give, the more God will give back to you and I. Heard a story one time about this old preacher, and he was walking to church. He was going to preach in a certain church, and his little grandson went with him. And they went in the back of the church, and at the back of the church they had a box, which was their offering box, had a slot in the top, and you dropped your offering in the slot. Well, his grandpa pulled out 50 cents and dropped in the box. And he went in, and his grandpa preached that day, and the leader, one of the leaders of the church, got up and said, I propose we give all that's in the box today to the preacher. And everybody agreed to it, and everybody left. The preacher shook their hands as they left. And they went to the box, and the little boy and his grandpa opened the box, and he has 50 cents in there. It was all there was in the box. And that little grandson said, Papa, said if you'd have put more in, you'd have got more out. You know, a lot of times, a lot of people go to church and they say, I didn't get nothing out of that service. What did you put in it? Was you looking? Was you praying for the serving? And was you looking for something from God when you came? Was you expecting something big to happen while you was here? We need to be expecting something from God when we get here. We need to be looking for something from Him. But I want you to understand, the reason we don't get a lot is because we don't put much in. But she put everything in. Not only the measure that she gave, I want you to understand the method that she gave it. The Bible said that she gave there all, and she wasn't worrying about what was going to happen, because she gave even all her living. She gave every penny she had. She wasn't worried about nothing. She knew God was able to take care of her. You know, I thought about old Abraham when he went up there to carry Isaac to offer him as a sacrifice. And Isaac said, "Father, we got the wood, we got the fire, but where's the lamb for the sacrifice?" Old Abraham said, "God will provide Himself a lamb for the sacrifice." I want you to understand, the Bible tells me on over in Hebrews in the 11th chapter how that Abraham knew that his son was as good as dead. He drew back the knife to kill him, but he knew that God was able even to raise him from the dead if he did. He believed that God was able. When God stopped him there and they found the lamb there in the caught in the briars and all that. But I want you to understand, she gave not worrying. She had much, you know, you say, well, she didn't have much to give. And you know, a lot of people, it's easy to give to tithe. It's easy to give a dime on a dollar, ain't it? But when it's $1,000 on $10,000, boy, people begins to get nervous about that. But I want you to understand that God is able. I'm going to tell this on myself. I didn't even think about it till now. We built a new building. And we moved in it about 13 or 14 years ago. And we had a dedication service and had two powerful men of God come and preach. Brother Noah Fry was one of them, and Brother Harold Parker was another. And Brother Harold Parker was talking about, we need to give, you know. And he said, "Who'll give $1,000? And before I know it, my hand went up. You know, when you do things, you say, "Man, why did I do that?" You know, you've done things like that. And I got in the car with my wife, and she said, "Where are we going to get that $1,000? I said, "God will provide." I said, "But if He don't, we don't have no big savings." I said, we'll take it out of our savings. I mean, sometimes God tries you, I believe. About 3 weeks later, I had a revival at a little church up in the foot of the mountains up there. And I went to that church, and always on, it went five nights. And always on Friday night, they'd take up an offering for the pastor. That's all that he got, was the offering that they gave. They took up an offering. I went to the door. They shook hands with me. I went on to my car, got almost to my car, and three men come out there to me. And they said, "Wait, Pastor, we've got your offering." And they looked kind of white in the face. And they said, "We've counted this offering three times and said we've never got an offering like this before." And it was like $1,007. I said, "Praise God. Thank you, Lord." I want you to understand, God is able if we just let Him. And a lot of times we're afraid to step out, like old Peter stepped out of the boat there and stepped out on the water. We're afraid to step out for God. Now, God's able if we'll just trust Him and just look to Him. But I want you to understand the way that she gave, the method, not worrying. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 9:6, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." I want you to understand, what are we sowing? How much are we sowing? You know, I plant a garden. I love to work in a garden. I get a lot of frustrations out there behind a hoe and an old garden tiller. I don't like it a lot of time, but it helps me. But I want you to understand, when I plant a garden, I lay the row off and I plant it in the row. The Bible tells us about the sower. in the Bible. And the Bible said that he didn't sow it in a row. I mean, he scattered the seed. He threw it bountifully. Had some fell on stony ground, some in some briars, and some where it didn't have much earth on. But the Bible said that some fell on good ground. Always sowing like we need to be. Always sowing for God and honoring Him. She was a sowing something here that she didn't even realize when she gave to God. But God made it possible that she knew that He had take care of her. Old David said in Psalms 37:25, I am young, I have been young and now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed of begging bread. He said, God will take care of it. You know, a lot of times we get worried about the economy. What are we going to do? Praise God. How we're going to trust God. That's what we're going to do. God's able if we'll just trust Him and look to Him. You know, the world's looking awful bleak, but praise God, heaven are looking a whole lot sweeter. Heavens are getting a lot closer. I know I'm a lot older than most in here. My life is far beyond behind me. I don't have that much ahead of me. But you don't feel sorry for me. Glory to God, I'm not going to die. I'm just going to step from here into glory. One of these days, I'm going to step out of this old world. You know, I think about it a lot of time. And I look at these people around, these on TV and all, you know, and how they live. And the ungodly things that's going on today. And I think, me and Betty, my wife, have talked about it before. And I say they live in a different world than we do. They don't live in the same world that we do. You know, that Sunday morning that I got saved, I was living in a world over here where everybody dies. But that Sunday morning, I stepped into a world, Lord God, where everybody's alive and will never die. Praise God, I changed worlds that Sunday morning. It changed my life, and it changed my world, and it changed my family. It changed everything, but God is able. I started walking by faith and not by sight. We're to look to God. It doesn't matter what this old world's doing. Praise God, I'm looking to Jesus. There's a lot of churches that's falling after things in this world anymore, going after the things of the world. But I want you to understand, we're to follow after God and to honor Him. They've turned. The Bible said they have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. But I want you to understand, Paul told us in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your needs or need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Bible tells us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us. But last of all, I want you to understand the measure that she gave, the method that she gave, but the motive for her giving. She loved God. She loved the Lord. Years ago, I was pastor in a church in Dobson, and there was a family, one of the families in the church. The man's grandpa and grandma lived way off the road down in a holler down in there, and wanted me to visit him sometime. He had cancer. It was John and Electra Hodges was their name, and I would go to see them right often, and they didn't have much, and she'd want me to eat something every time I come, and I'd kind of eat with them. And I went one evening to visit them, and as I was leaving, she come out the door with tears running down her face, and she had a dozen eggs in her hand, and she said, "Preacher," I said, "we love you. We want to give you something," but said, "we ain't got nothing." I said, "would you take a dozen eggs?" Lord of God, I left out of that place shouting over a dozen eggs. I'd rather had that than all the money she could have given me. Glory to God, that meant more to me. That they loved me that much. And I want you to understand, How much do we love God? How much does God know that you love Him? When was the last time you got down? I said, Lord, I love you. When I first got saved, I'd go in the bedroom by myself. My wife and the youngins, they'd be in the family room watching. I'd go in the bedroom and sit down, and didn't have no chair. And I'd just sit down on the floor and scoot up, and I'd read my Bible. And I'd get that old Bible up, and I'd hug it, and I'd kiss it. Boy, I love what God, His love letter that He sent to me. What He gave me and what He done. But I thank God for it. But I want you to understand, she loved God. The Bible said in 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out all fear. You know why? Perfect love, they some byproducts of perfect love. It's trust and faith. I'm giving y'all, I'm just going to trust you to take care of me. Now I want you to understand, God will take care of you. I went through a period in my life of doubting my salvation. After God called me to preach, I had pastored a church up in Virginia, and I'd pastored one there in Dobson. And during the time of that, I went through about 2 years of the awfulest experience I've ever had in my life, of my nerves. And doubt, the devil would use it to get me to doubt my salvation. I'd hide behind the bed and everything. I'd get up in the middle of the night and get my wife up to pray with me. And I knew that God had made a miraculous change in my life when I got saved. And my pastor kept telling me, you need to just trust the Lord. You know you're saved, you just not having faith in Him. And I went back to one of the churches that I'd pastored. They was having revival. And I went to the prayer room. And I got down the prayer room there, and the devil said, what are you doing in here? You ain't even saved. And I said, Lord, I've done everything I know to do. I've trusted you, and I've asked you to save me. And I don't know of anything else to do. And I'm not going to worry about it anymore. I'm just going to put it in your hands. If I die and go to hell, I'm going trusting you. I found out you can't go to hell if you trust in Him. Boy, God gave me victory that night. I'm still shouting the victory over that night that God gave me. But I want you to understand the motive for it was the love. She loved Him. The Bible tells us in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of this world. The world passeth away, the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I want you to understand, she loved God, and she didn't have much. A lot of people says, well, there ain't much I can do. God's not asking you to do much. Just to give Him your all. Just to trust Him. If you'll give what you got, boy, He can use it. He makes something big out of what you give, if you'll just give Him. Now I want you to notice the reason that she gave all. She gave everything she had, even to her living. She didn't. You say, well, it wasn't much. Praise God, it was everything to her. But I want you to understand it. That God blessed her for it. It's recorded in the Bible. To me, it was a great feat what she did and what she gave to God and what she did for Him. Now I want you to understand that she loved God and wanted to do for Him. Are we wanting to do for God? In Romans 12:1, Paul said, I beseech you or beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And then he didn't stop there, but he said, which is your reasonable service. I mean, he's not asking nothing spectacular, just what's reasonable out of you and I. I want to ask you today, what are you giving to God? What are you letting God have as far as measure in your life? And then What is the method that you're giving it? Are you giving it all? And then, what's your motive for giving? Why are you here today? Well, it's Sunday. We got church. Now, why are you really here? What is the sole purpose for being here? We're here because we love Him. And because of what He... Boy, couldn't nobody do what God has done for me. I want to ask them if they will to get a song. And I want to get a congregational, if it's all right. Brother Ken, get some of these to sing. I appreciate these young ladies. Boy, them young ladies was a blessing a while ago. They blessed my soul. And then the choir. I told my wife, we want a copy of that song. I mean, I won't tell you. But that stirred me. That stirred my heart. Boy, I thank God for it. But I want you to understand that God may be speaking to you today. I want to get Brother Ken to come if he would. And I want to ask you today, what are we doing for God? Why are you here today? What is the reason? Is it because you're in love with Jesus? Or is it just a thing to do on Sunday that you're supposed to do? Are we here for a purpose? Is there a purpose in being here to praise Him? You know, I tell them at the church every time we meet, this could be our last opportunity. Jesus may come this evening. One of us could die in a car wreck or have a heart attack or a stroke. We never know what's going to happen. But I want you to understand, this could be our last opportunity, this side of eternity, to honor Him and praise Him. And are we doing what we should as we stand? Amen. Would you mind God?